Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
If we could turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. You remember as we had left off a couple of weeks ago in chapter 13, we saw that the enemy would oftentimes try and keep us from the word and, you know, the sword of the word, and to try and pull away the ability to have that particular type of weaponry. So the significance of always being focused and staying close to the Word of God, what a blessing that is for us. And as they get kind of prepared for some battle, you remember in verse 23, if you go to chapter 13, verse 23, and the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. So this is where they're kind of encamped up in this pass area. And now in verse 1 of chapter 14, it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. So he's getting ready to go over there, but he doesn't tell his dad what he's doing, you know, the king, Saul. And there's reasons. You know, there was issues. Obviously, he saw what was happening with Saul, his dad, how his dad kind of was blowing the trumpet, acting like he was the one that was victorious and all that stuff. And he kind of saw this something happening. His dad really wasn't in a position to lead in that way into the battle. And, you know, I think Jonathan was just aware of that. And Jonathan, as we go on into our story later, we find out, remember how close David and Jonathan became. They were bros, you know, they were buddies. They were friends, close friends. And so you can kind of see the kind of the knitted hearts that were there between David and Jonathan, very like-minded kind of guys. And so you kind of see that happening. And here in this place, Jonathan was just clearly aware that his dad Saul, as we find in verse 2, was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. So just basically the immediate, he's just kind of kicking back, hanging out. Basically, he was aware his dad was just not engaged really in what was happening. And Jonathan, you know, decides he's going to go out. He gets his armor bearer and he talks to him. And he didn't tell his dad what he's doing, but he's going to go out and kind of check things out. These brothers, the brother of Ichabod, the son of Phinehas, and the son of Eli, I can't pronounce those other two names, so you can read those. Ahitub, you know, I don't know if he had a hot tub or a hit tub, but somehow. The Lord's priest in Shiloh was wearing the ephod. And you remember why they wore the ephod? You remember what the significance of the ephod was? The ephod was where they would, you know, kind of do, they'd get the Urim and the Thummim out, and they would, you know, kind of determine the will of God, you know, through wearing the ephod and the Urim and the Thummim, and which is really the kind of dividing of lights, and, you know, as the light would come. And we don't really know that much about how it worked exactly, but that was one of the ways that they would determine the will of God. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senna. Now, to us, I don't know. You know, we don't walk around probably naming the rocks in our yard or anything, but, you know, for them, these are maybe significant monuments that they would look at and know what they were. But it's interesting. Bozez is like, means like shining, or literally a glistening. So this is one that stands out. The next one is thorny. Senna means thorny. So it's like this one that's maybe, I don't know, maybe it was more jagged than the other or whatever, but it's interesting thought process. They're coming up to engage in a battle. They're going to engage in a war situation. He's going up to check it out. There's just him and his armor bearer that are going up to check this out. And isn't it just like, and it's an interesting thought to think through, that the wonderful possibilities that could possibly take place in this situation as we enter out or we venture out. You know, there's oftentimes we see, this really speaks to me about ventures of faith and the significance of this in your life personally as a believer, in ministry endeavors, in body life as a ministry, the endeavors. The things that we engage in are not always easy. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. I know for myself, our family, for our fellowship in many ways, it's been a very difficult year and a half or so. As we launched out, we by faith decided to step out and do something to try and touch our community with the Word of God. And I assure you that Satan is not pleased with that kind of thing. We stepped out by faith as a body of believers. God put it on my heart and we agreed, we stepped out by faith to do something that's not normal. There's not one church nearby or around us that has a radio station, that has a voice into the community like what God's given you. And half the time, I don't even know if we really get what God's entrusted us with. But that's what God's given us. Oh, it doesn't come in, it's a little scratchy. I don't know about all that. It's not perfect everywhere. But about 2.2 million people have the access to it. That's a lot of people, potentially, that we get to touch. I mean, that's exciting to me. God said, hey, here's an opportunity, but we don't have anything. Well, that's okay, I can do it. Okay, I'll run with God on anything. You know, it's just, this is what he's talking about. Sometimes it's this glistening possibility or opportunity that's there, but it's always true that there's some jagged spots in it too. It's not always easy. You will find both in any venture that's worth getting into. And if it's not bigger than you, I don't think it's worth getting into. I love this. I love this whole story so much because it's a real true testament. You guys, yeah, we could sit back and we could have a few thousand more bucks in the bank and we could be sitting and feeling a little more comfortable about anything. So what? And done nothing? While our city perishes without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you tell me what it was worth to have a gal call us the other day and say, I just pulled off the road and I've given my life to Jesus Christ. What was that worth? Was that worth $500,000? Was it worth $1,000? Was it worth $5? Was it worth $10 million? What's that soul worth? Jesus Christ came and gave everything for you and for me and for our city, for our nation, for the world that surrounds us. Jesus Christ gave everything, his own life, blood, himself, that you and I might have that life. And I just look at it, I go, man, I'm in, Lord, I'm in, deal me in. I wanna see, that is thrilling to me. That's what it's all about. Being a Christian and sharing it's not just about me having salvation. I'm on my face every day. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. When we sing that song, I can barely keep my eyes from just welling up and looping it. But I know I've got to share and teach, so I can't go into my own little world and loop it. But, you know, just with the stuff I've seen and just, you know, again and again and even recently, your house and my house this could happen to us. You know, I go to the other side of the world and it happens. I go, you know, down the street it happens. I go to the Gulf, it happens. I go, you know, things happen everywhere. And it's so wonderful that God's given us an opportunity right now to get a voice into our city, to take a venture of faith together. I'm just saying, to me, I wanted to give it something, what we're talking about, a personal impact on how I see this stuff scripturally this way. I'm in my mind, we're living this. That is exciting. I want to live the Word of God. What a thrilling experience. I don't want to just wake up and, wow, great, I got salvation. I'm just going to be a bump on a pickle like the rest of every other bump on the pickle around, you know? I want to have something. Your life is counting for something. Your life as a believer is counting for something. We're not some big, massive group. We don't even have a building of our own, and God's given us that. And someone was telling us recently, a promoter called in, was talking to us about a project, and they're saying, well, that seems weird. Why would why would you have a radio station? You didn't have a building and stuff, like we're idiots or something, you know? And that may be the case. I don't know, you know? But perchance God might be in it. And the question went back and said, well, how many churches around town do you know that have a station? I don't care if we ever have a rock climbing wall. You see what I mean? I just don't. I don't care if we have the greatest, you know, but man, I do care about getting the gospel out. And I want you guys to be blessed. I want us to have a great facility one day. I want all that for you. Myself, I'm cool with the field. I'd go pitch a tent and meet in the field. I don't care. Really, I just don't. But for everybody and for the sake of, I'm not interested. It's just I'm more interested in what's going to matter for eternity. Because you see, the structure you build here is ultimately going to burn in fervent heat. That's a fact, scripturally. It's not that it's not good. I would desire that for us also. So I want to be clear on that. We are wanting, there's not a week that goes by, very few days that go by, that we are not in pursuit of looking for stuff. You need to know that. We're looking all the time. You say, well, looking with what? You don't have it. I know, well, that's nothing. So what's new? You know? My dad owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Our dad owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. My dad knows, your dad knows, exactly where every vein of gold ore is in this earth, and silver and everything else. Your dad, our dad, my dad, can do whatever he wants, however he wants. You know, I just hope tonight that by just this little bit of time we spend together in the Word, that we would grasp that simple reality. And that God oftentimes does things differently. It's not the way systematically we think, you know? But it's just, he's God, and he does it the way he wants to do it. And he wants to do it in such a way that it brings him honor and brings him glory. So they get up there. It's not always easy. Man, there's been a lot of difficulties the last 18 months on a lot of different fronts in a lot of different ways, but that's okay. To me, it's worth it. What value would you put? What hassle, what headache, what struggle, what issue would you put? How do you put that up against even just that one phone call? Because just from that one, all eternity broke loose, rejoicing over that one. And that's not the only one. There's many others. I'm just giving you a one from last week. Isn't that radical? That you're a part of that. That goes to your account into eternity. That's what a blessing. What an exciting truth. What a wonderful thing. Glistening, all the possibilities of everything. But, you know, there's always going to be a battle. There's always going to be difficulty. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash and the other toward the opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan, that was just the description of where the rocks faced. Then in verse 6, Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be," and this is where we get the word, some of you guys can see, if you have an original King James, it may say perchance. But in our New King James, it says it may be that. But so if you've ever heard me say perchance, I learned this originally in a different Bible version, perchance. But it may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Mark it. Let that be etched in our hearts and our minds. What is it to God, whether it be by many or by few? God is able. If God be for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? Ah, what a wonderful, wonderful truth. Let's go over there. There's a garrison, a big bunch of these, big group. There's two of us, so let's go. Now, I love the armor bearer. The armor bearer is just, what a guy, man. So his armor bearer said to him, "No way, man, there's too many of them. I don't think it's a good idea. We probably ought not to do that. It doesn't make any sense." What does the armor bearer say in verse 7? "Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here am I with you, according to your heart." This guy brought in and spoke from his heart, and he had a good word. You know, there are many that will say, you know, this doesn't make any sense. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to, okay. But perchance, what if God is with us? What if God's with us? Then with many or with few, what is it to the Lord? If God is with us, what is it? You know, the other thing that's interesting to notice about Jonathan is Jonathan had a familiarity and a good working knowledge of the scripture, because that's out of Deuteronomy 32:30. That's where you find that concept of the numerics of God's battle abilities. Isn't that radical? That's crazy stuff. But he had a good working knowledge of the scriptures there, understanding how, and you know what he did? He took his understanding of who God was, because he knows God, because he's been hanging out with God, reading God's word. This is the value to us. This is how we get built up, as we know the person in whom which we've trusted our lives to. Okay, we've gotten saved. This is great. That's why we want to get into the word and start studying the Bible together like this, is because now it helps to build up our journey as we realize, oh, so that's what the Lord's about. That's how that might work. That's how that fits together. And now he's not doing this based on just his own willy-nilly concept of doing something. He's doing this based on, hey, with God, this is possible. So perchance, let's say the Lord's with us. Let's see. And he's already experienced some victory, hasn't he, with the Lord? See, God gives you a little victory once in a while on your journey, and that's to continue to bolster you up so that you aren't faint-hearted. God wants us to keep moving forward. What a wonderful, wonderful word. And Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. And if they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. Now, so he's given this thing. He's saying, now let's just see. If God's in this, if God's really into this situation, then let's just see how this plays out. If they say thus, come up to us and then we'll go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. God's going to reveal to us his will in this matter. If we get there and they just, it goes this way, okay, we'll just sit tight. If it goes this way, in other words, is the door going to open? Is the door going to open over here? Is the door going to close? See, you and I get vested in some of these things in the wrong way. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God, God's faithfulness, and God's ability to do something. So it's got to be that constant reliance. Remember, we learned in our last message about Saul not waiting all the way through that 7-day period of time, and how significant that is, that 11th hour, 59th, because we can grow weary and like, I can't tell you the number of times I hit the 59th second and I'm about to implode. The natural man in me is imploding. The spiritual man is trying to hang in there. But there's a great battle going on, believe me. But, you know, God can do it. And oftentimes he gets to that point. And then we start realizing, hey, sometimes it goes that way. Sometimes he does it differently than that. Hey, praise the Lord. Either way, we can trust him. He shows up. He shows up. Right on time. Well, I like this. They really didn't move forward presumptuously, just expecting that it had to go their way. Hey, we're going to go up and we're going to take this garrison and we're going to, you know, and they didn't go up presumptuously like that, you see. They went up with an expectation that God could work and that God would work, but they were willing to say, hey, as the Lord opens the doors, we're going to run through them, but we're not going to force issue. If God closes the door, we'll look for another door. I mean, that's the key to all these things, these ventures of faith. You know, if God closes that door, what door might he open? What I like is Jonathan was willing to go up. You see, availability and moving forward in it. He was close enough to see, he got up in it, close enough to see what might happen. Sometimes we lay back so far that we're not going to see God move, really, because we're too far at a distance. You remember when they were moving the ark, and they were to stay a certain distance back from the ark, just away from the ark. But it was enough that they could see it and they could follow it when they had crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. The ark was there moving and it was out ahead of them, eyeshot where they could see it. where they could see where they were going to follow it, but not too close, not getting out in front of it. And I see that with this, you know, Jonathan and his armor bearer got up to where they could see possibly what God might do. I think that's the key for us. A lot of times we want to lay back and we think, well, God can get a hold of me or God can, you know, all that. Okay, I get it. But man, it is so great to get out and watch God doing things like this and to see God move in ways that we would never see. I mean, it's actually quite thrilling. It's faith in action. It's alive. It's great. So both of them showed themselves in verse 11 to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves. Basically calling them rodents, really. And just saying they've burrowed into the ground like, you know, little rodents, and now they're popped their heads up. And, you know, then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we'll show you something. Whoop, that was all he needed. He was listening for that word, looking for that door, watching for that confirmation of what it would take to move forward. And notice what he says now. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, because the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. He says, man, God is with us. Let's do it. I love his armor bearer. His armor bearer wasn't all negative, explaining to him how it wasn't going to work and how this can't happen and that isn't going to work out that way and that doesn't make any sense and it doesn't pencil out and this and that. Okay, obviously, no. But what I like about it was he was basing this not on his own thoughts, but on the word of God. Jonathan's thoughts were based on the word of God, on the possibilities from the word of God. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, the army there. They just fell before him. And as his armor bearer came after him, his armor bearer just killed him. Just sliced their heads right off. That first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men with about half an acre of land. Within about a half acre of land, he just started shoom, 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 just wiping these guys out, and just with two of them. This story goes on, and we'll catch it in our next study. Read through the rest of the story, verse 15 through the end of the chapter. We'll try and move through it that far in our next study, and we can do that quite simply. That shouldn't be a problem for us next time we get together. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. And I know that some of you may have a tug on your heart that the Lord's just kind of speaking to you personally and that you'd like to give your life to Jesus or maybe like to give your life back to Jesus. Well, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus desires to have fellowship, personal relationship with us. And so he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He loves us. He doesn't force entrance into our lives, but he wants you to open the door and invite him in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now just to pray a simple prayer of faith. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're driving or you're sitting at home or you're out on a walk with your earbuds in, whatever it might be, but this is your opportunity to give your life and get back to Jesus or give it to Jesus that you might have everlasting life. He wants to spend all eternity with you and he wants you to have life abundant. So if you would just pray this simple prayer with me, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all of my sin. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take my sin and my old life and just give me a new life in you. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you for the new life that I have in you now. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that I might accomplish your purpose. Lord, that your will would be done now in and through my life. I give my life to you. I thank you for the new life I have. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, come.